Now that was the who, what, why, and how of Christmas that the Bible Society has put out, and which I linked into this year, because I thought that they had a great retelling of the story that we could jump on in with and go through it and remember it afresh for ourselves. I thought it was a great way to connect us in the service. So we had the who, what, how, and why of Christmas, but I wonder if that passed you by too quick so that you couldn't say, well, what was the who? What was the what? What was the why? What was the how? Saying what with each of the things is confusing, isn't it? So I thought we'd go through it and just quickly look at that once more. And the who is the easy one. Who's the who?
Jesus.
Of course. I'm glad to hear you say that. You might have heard the saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's right. That's exactly who is central in Christmas. But a lot of people don't know that. And so it's really important that we actually put that on the table. Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, what's the what? The what is the circumstances. The what is that Jesus came as a baby. And that seems like a pretty odd sort of thing to a lot of people, that God should come in this vulnerable form. Seems so unusual. And it is such a wonderful thing that he came into the world as a baby. You see, what it says is that God doesn't stand at a distance. Oh, the Bible says that he is a God who stoops to our circumstances. That's a wonderfully warm way of saying that he doesn't stand way, way, way away, but he comes into our circumstances, cares about us, and engages with us. And that's the wonderful thing about Christmas. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The fact that that's encapsulated in one of Jesus' names is a very, very significant thing. Well, why? Why did Jesus come into the world? Bible makes that really easy for you. If you ever have that question, it's really, really simple. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the reason he came. Jesus' name, Jesus, that means the Lord saves. It's a great thing that his names encapsulate so much about. It's who he is, what he's about. And that's terrific. Makes it such a vital part of who he is. He is God's rescue mission to this world. But the fact that there is a rescue mission tells us some things. It tells us that this world needs rescuing. And it tells us that there are things that are wrong in this world. Well, you watch the news every day and you know that there's something wrong in the world. But the Bible doesn't just leave it out there as a thing that's wrong out there with others. It says, well, the problem is so embedded in our lives. It's not just out there. It's in every single one of us. And it's a terrible problem, and it's called sin. And it's separation from God. It's walking as if God doesn't exist, going a completely different way. And it's so ingrained in us, the Bible says. It's so ingrained in us that we do it naturally. And we need help. We need a rescuer from without. And that's why Christmas is so, so good. God has sent that rescuer, and his name is Jesus. Well, how? How does Jesus rescue us? And there are two things that I actually want to say there. The most obvious one for Christians is we remember at Easter that Jesus died for us on the cross. And that's the way that he took our punishment. The wages, the penalty for walking away from God is death, is what the Bible says. And Jesus took that on himself in our place. But here's the other second thing that I've been thinking about in recent years. Jesus lived a perfect, perfect life. Nobody else ever lived a perfect life like he did. The Bible says that at the cross, there is an exchange. Jesus' perfect life becomes ours, and our sin becomes his. The Bible actually says that he took that our sin on himself, and that he gives us his perfect life in view of God. It's a wonderful exchange. The Bible also says that Jesus didn't stay dead, but he rose and he went back to heaven and he reigns there. And he will come one day and restore all things to their perfect place. We're still in the storyline of the Bible. And the only thing left in this story is you. Where do you fit into that storyline in the Bible? That's the real thing that this story brings you in. It's not a fairy story. We heard that before. It's a real story about how Jesus came to rescue. And it engages you and it brings you into asking, well, where do I fit? How do I become that person that Jesus died for? And you don't have to, you don't ever have to wonder about whether Jesus would take you in. You never have to worry about that. You know, sometimes we hang our head in shame at things that we've done, the people that we've become in life. That can get in the way. But you know what? It's the very reason that Jesus came into the world. For the things that we hang our head in shame at, he came. Remarkable. And Jesus said things like this. He said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. He said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Good, welcoming things. And the Bible says that to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And here's the thing I want to say. Being saved by God's rescue plan through Jesus is more than just about restoring things to one point. It's about being welcomed into God's family. He doesn't just keep us afar, but he welcomes us right into his family. Comes by recognizing our great need of a Savior. Recognize that we have that problem. Comes by hearing Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Comes as you go to God with your life the way it is, put it before him, ask for forgiveness, and that exchange is yours. The Bible also says that God is faithful and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the storyline of the Bible, and that's how we get to be involved in that story. And it's a wonderful thing, full of God's goodness. Well, it's good news that we want lots of people to get a hold of, so that they appreciate that God really is full of that great goodness. I'm going to pray right now. How about we pray? Father God, thank you so much that you are a great and wonderful and good God. Thank you that you didn't leave us in this state which is not a happy one. We can live as if there's nothing wrong in the world or in our lives. We can pretend that up to a point. But at some point we'll realize that there is something crook in the world. And if we follow that further along, we'll see that, well, we're not so separate from the world that it doesn't affect us. And we can see that we need a rescuer. And so, Father, thank you that at Christmas we remember something that angels said to shepherds was great news. Great news of great joy, which is for all the people. Thank you that you care. You care not just for people who do the right thing. You came for people who are walking the other way. You took the first step. And that's a remarkable thing that speaks of how good and wonderful you are. Father, my prayer this Christmas is, if there are any here who don't know you, who haven't turned to you, who haven't asked for forgiveness, who haven't become part of your family, I pray that this Christmas they would see your goodness for all that it's worth, for all of its depth, and see that you really do care. And I pray that they would come to you and be part of your family. And I pray this in your name. Amen.